It seems that as I open the mail these days, I'm getting more and more letters from Seventh-day Adventists who are telling me that because I worship on Sunday, I've taken on the mark of the beast. They're Seventh-day Adventist traditionalists, and they oftentimes major on the aberrant doctrines like soul sleep, Sabbatarianism, the seer status of Ellen G. White. In fact, I recently received a letter from one of these Adventists who says, as you know, you, Hank Hanegraaff, have never responded with a coherent thought. It's apparent that you are either unable or unwilling or both to acknowledge scriptural truth. Over 150 years ago, Ellen White accurately predicted you and your type as elements of Protestantism reaching across the sea to join the Roman power. In advocating for the counterfeit Sabbath, you are setting the stage for the mark of the beast. Well, those are particularly sharp words, and they raise a number of issues. And let me attempt to counter with some semblance of coherent thought. I would say that the traditionalist wing of the Seventh-day Adventist Church has denounced Sunday worship as the end-time mark of the beast, but not correctly or biblically, because there are good reasons why millions of Christians gather on the first day of the week and worship. It's a result of the resurrection. It was because of the resurrection that we celebrate the rest we have through Christ who delivers us from sin and the grave. And for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. Look, if we insist on being slavishly bound to the laws in the Old Testament, be forewarned. It could be hazardous to your health. You could be put to death. Because according to the Mosaic law, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath must be put to death. The Sabbath was a shadow of the things to come. The reality is found in Jesus Christ. And just as it would be an abomination, trampling on the precious blood of Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews, to go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice, it would be wrong to go backwards and worship the shadow rather than the Savior in whom we have our Sabbath rest. Religious rites must bow to redemptive realities. Of course, with respect to the mark of the beast and the idea that I've taken on the mark of the beast because I worship on Sunday, I've explained this consistently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I hope with some coherent thought. Biblically, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. The mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation 14 symbolizes something. It symbolizes identity with the Lamb. So it's not a stretch to say that in Revelation 13, the chapter preceding Revelation 14, the mark of the beast would symbolize identity with the beast. When Jesus says, on him who overcomes, I will write the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, he's not talking about scribbling on your forehead. The notion that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship simply has no biblical basis. It might be sensationalistic, it might sell well, but the question is, are we as Christians going to be tethered to the text of Scripture, or are we going to go off on subjective flights of fancy as a result of the latest prophet that hits the scene? Look, Ellen G. White claimed divine authority for her prophecies, and she was obviously wrong when she prophesied that she'd be alive at the second coming of Christ. Dead wrong. The prophetic words of Scripture always expose the pretender. They fail the biblical test given in the Old and New Testaments, and oftentimes, as Peter put it, they end up being boastful words. They appeal to the desires of human nature. They entice people, and oftentimes people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom, but they enslave you to depravity, the bondage of tradition. Tradition should always give way to the text. Hopefully that was coherent.